Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund.
Hello. Well, this is the start of something really, really exciting here on Vectis Radio. Together with Age Friendly Ireland, this is a new show called Older and Wiser. What we're trying to do is to make the Isle of Wight a much better place for people to live if you're a little bit older, if you're 50 plus. And I've got some wonderful people in the studio for our pilot show. Wilma Jackson, who is from Age Friendly Ireland. Wilma, I think you're the Ageing Better Programme Manager.
Hello. Yes, hello there. I am.
Yeah, and also we've got Julie Woodhouse and Sally Ash, both of whom are training standards officers. Sadly, we don't have enough mics, so we're going to have to shuffle you around, but welcome to both of you. This show, we're going to be talking about scams and how to avoid them. But I'd like to just park that just for a second, because I think it's important to understand what Age Friendly Ireland is all about. So, Wilma, could you just explain what Age Friendly Ireland is and what you're doing?
Yes, certainly. It's a national programme called Ageing Better, actually, but we have a local name for it on the island, Age Friendly Ireland.
Yes.
It's big lottery funded, as your jingle just quite rightly pointed out there. And we are working with 10 delivery partners, we call them, who are doing 13 different projects within the Age Friendly Ireland programme.
Yeah.
So we have got £5.7 million from Big Lottery over 5 years.
Just for the island?
Just for the island,
wow,
yes.
Well done.
Yes. That has been going since 2015. We're now 2.75 years into a 5-year delivery cycle.
Yeah.
And we're really entering a really exciting phase now where we're trying to help the delivery partners embed what they're doing and to make it sustainable and create a legacy for once that money has gone,
right,
the useful services that this programme is providing can continue, and older people, as you quite rightly said, over 50, will continue to benefit from these services.
So what sort of services are we talking about? We're talking about clearly making life better for people who are sort of 50 and over.
Yes.
And that there are many of those on the island. I mean, we're completely overrepresented with the sort of elderly population here.
Yes.
Can you give me some examples of how you're intending to make their lives better?
Yes. It is for all ages, and we're finding that actually some projects are more preventative.
Yeah.
The key thing for us is to prevent social isolation of older people, because it only takes one crisis and social networks can break down and that person can become very lonely and isolated, for example, a bereavement or a life change, for example, starting retirement.
Yeah.
And that can be a big thing for some people. So we've got a couple of projects that are helping older people start their own business or look for employment, because the over 50s actually are quite disadvantaged when it comes to looking for jobs, because some employers feel that older people are on the scrap heap.
Yeah, I was having a look at your website the other day, and you've got these sort of highlighted entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Who are sort of older people starting up new businesses.
Yes.
That's fantastic,
yes,
isn't it?
And they've just had a real success story where one of their startup businesses won a highly recommended in one of the Chamber of Commerce Awards, Business Startup Awards, just recently, so that was fantastic.
What about helping sort of older people get online access? Because that's a sort of common theme that Judith and I find here on the island, that there are a lot of people, you know, we run a pop-up cinema, for example. Most people have got an email and they just about know how to do that.
Yeah.
But if you say go to the Facebook page, or why don't you get in touch with us on Twitter, they're all a bit lost.
Yeah, we've got two strands to digital inclusion. We have got one project run by Age UK Isle of Wight that helps older people get used to technology, perhaps help them choose the right technology for them. So there's taster sessions.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at how we can use things like the Amazon, I can't remember the name of it, the
Alexis,
things
that's
like
right.
that.
Yeah.
And also we've got the I'll Find It website, which actually is a vast website full of information for older people about support services, benefits, etc. And also things like what events are on. And we've got quite a lot on there for December, so it's really worth having a look at that website to find out what you can be going along to.
Terrific.
We do also have other projects that are more focused around supporting those that are in need of help, so around trying to help people through navigate the care system, make sure they've got the right care for them, and also support for carers as well. A project around that as well.
And lots to do with safety, because I understand one of the partnerships you've got, for example, is with the fire brigade. What we're going to be talking about today is scams, and that is another partnership with Trading Standards here.
Yes, absolutely. We've been doing some really interesting work with them. I won't steal their thunder because they're the experts on this, but we have quite a few partners, the fire service, looking at making older drivers on the island safer. And Trading Standards. We've done some work with the police as well. We're working with Red Funnel, and we've had some really good success with Southern Vectis bus service, where all their drivers have had age-friendly training, and I believe that has reduced the number of falls on buses quite substantially.
Yes, I heard that. I think they've been more than halved, so that's terrific. Well, there's a lot to talk about. Good job we're going to have a show every fortnight, and the idea is that at 3 o'clock on the first and the third Wednesday in every month here on Vectis Radio, you'll be able to hear those shows. The good news is, because we're on internet as well as on 104.6 FM, you'll be able to hear those shows on catch up as well. So if people miss the shows, one great thing is they're going to be able to come back to those shows on catch up. And all you need to do this is you go to the community shows tab on the Vectis Radio homepage, and then just scroll down, and then you'll find Older and Wiser there. And as we get more shows, more will be loaded up. Here's Bill Haley. Stick with us, because we're going to talk about how to avoid scams, whether they be internet scams, doorstep scams, or postal scams. As Bill Haley, Shake, Rattle and Roll. Here's an old un, but a good un. But unfortunately, when old uns are concerned, there are some bad uns around. And I've got two lovely ladies here to talk about the kind of terrible things that do happen to people on the island. We don't want you to be nervous at home about what's going on, but you do need to be aware. So with me is Julie Woodhouse and Sally Ash from the Trading Standards place at the council here on the Isle of Wight. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting us.
You've got some very, very interesting leaflets that you gave me last time that we met about the kind of scams that go on the island. But first of all, could you tell me a little bit about what your roles are? And also, there is this scheme called iWASP. And could you perhaps explain what that is, please?
Yes, certainly. The Trading Standards Service, alongside the police, has taken a leading role since this has become its financial abuse, except in this case, it's financial abuse by a stranger rather than someone that's known to the victim.
Yes, I mean, it does seem that these days, instead of pickpocketing and those old sort of fashion Victorian crimes, people have moved on, haven't they? And they tend to target vulnerable people, is that right?
Most definitely. On the island, as we've already mentioned, we have a large vulnerable population. Some are isolated. They're very trusting. They lived in a world when, you know, you didn't have these sorts of problems. So this problem has been growing over the years. And to be honest, I would say that perhaps as an enforcement authority, we were a bit late on picking it up alongside the police, but now we are really riding with this on the Isle of Wight, which is why we established the Isle of Wight Against Scams Partnership.
That's iWASP, isn't it?
It is iWASP, yes. The Trading Standards Service is not a huge service, and we have a lot of other responsibilities, but this is one of our priorities, is vulnerable consumers on the island. So we realised that we needed to engage with other organisations, both statutory and voluntary, to help us to make contact with people. People wouldn't automatically think about coming to the Trading Standards Service, perhaps, when they have this problem, but they would talk to people that they come into contact with on a weekly or whatever occasion. So this is a real drive by us to make sure that as many people as possible know there's always someone to talk to if they have a problem.
Great. Well, can I just ask Sally something? One thing that my parents were sort of subject to a doorstep scam, And one thing, you know, the first thing that I said was, oh my goodness, you know, you're so stupid. Mm. But thinking about it, is it true that sort of older people don't like to admit what has actually happened to them and feel that they have been stupid and therefore don't come to you?
Definitely.
And reveal what's happened.
Definitely. It's a really underreported crime. Only 5% of scam crimes are ever reported.
5%? Is that
5%.
All?
5%. It's believed it's because that in some instances, like you said, they're too embarrassed and too ashamed to come forward and worried what family or friends might think of them. And from people I've spoken to, that's certainly been the case. And equally, a lot of people don't perhaps see scams as a scam. They don't see it as a crime. So if they're sending off money to an Australian lottery every month, every time that letter drops through the post, they genuinely believe that it's real and don't realise that it is a scam, so won't report it.
So it's really a question, isn't it, of sort of destigmatising these sorts of crimes. And also, from what you're saying as well, Sally, is educating people to realise that in the example you've given, that they are being defrauded.
Definitely.
And I mean, that this is a crime.
I mean, the priorities of IWASP, in our charter, is to raise awareness and destigmatise scams, offer people a reporting mechanism so that they can, you know, got somewhere to go if they have been scammed. And raising awareness and protecting people.
Thank you for that. Julie, could I just ask you, what are the most common scams on the island?
I would suggest that because we've got an elderly population, they're very trusting of the post. So the post is probably the scam that we would find most prevalent in that area.
Right.
The best way to spot somebody who's a victim of a postal scam is the amount of posts they're getting on a daily basis.
So what kind of post is this? It's not just double glazing adverts and things like that,
no,
is it?
No. It's lotteries, it's... poor Sally, what do you think? You come into contact with more than me.
Prize draws, lotteries,
right.
You've won an inheritance, psychic and clairvoyant, and they're really quite...
Tell us about psychic and clairvoyant, because I read a little bit about that earlier, and I can't believe it, actually.
Yeah, they... seem to be able to pick out the right sort of person to send the scam letter to, and I guess that's based on where they got their evidence from.
Yes.
So they've got this person's contact details, maybe from magazines they've ordered from, forms they filled in,
right,
which indicates what sort of person they are, and they are able to pinpoint what they would be interested in.
And what is a psychic scam?
Well, Julie has actually got a story about somebody that she visited, and it is really quite sad.
Hmm. Yeah, this was an elderly lady who actually contacted us to ask us whether something she received through the post was a scam or not. And when anyone does that, we're always quite suspicious that this won't be the first time that they've actually sort of had something like this. So along with a colleague from Age UK, one of my colleagues actually visited, and it was quite astounding. There was about 40 black plastic bags of mail that came out of that flat. It was a small flat. She lived on her own. And the most astounding point was that in conversation with her, every night before she went to bed, she used to put out a lace tablecloth on a small table, and she was told to place certain things in a certain place. And if she didn't do that, something nasty would happen to her in the night. So she was doing this every night. And I think that really demonstrates how manipulative this can be from a distance.
Yeah, there's some very evil people out there.
Absolutely. And I think if you are isolated, if you live on your own, I think it's easier for people to manipulate you, isn't it? Because you're living by yourself, you've got no one to sort of bounce ideas off to confide in. And I'm sure you've really would rather that people would come to you as early as possible, even if it turned out there wasn't actually a problem.
Yes,
it's like going to the doctors, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Yeah, the sooner the better.
The thing with scammers, whether it's post or on the phone or the internet, however they do it, there's always an urgency. They don't want to give you time to think. They don't want to give you time to speak to a family member or friend to see if it's genuine or not, so that they really do put the pressure on.
Okay, well, can you stick with us? Because I'd like to also talk about these scams where people come round to your house, because that happens a lot on the Isle of Wight, where people are offered services, you know, maybe roof mending or lawn cutting, and it actually turns out to be a lot of money for very little. So stick with us and we'll come back to that. Of course, the most important thing is to talk about how people protect themselves and how to get in touch with you and what kind of things you can do. So we'll just talk a little bit more about the kind of scams that happen, but I think it's really important to talk about how people can stay safe. Anyway, coming up now, it's Noel Gallagher's Fly Flying Birds. Oh, I can't even say it. High Flying Birds and Holy Mountain. Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund.
Wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Scouting for Girls. And that, of course, was the classic Heartbeat. James and Judy here in the studio at Vectis Radio. And if you've just joined us, you're in a very special pilot show. We're doing a show called Older and Wiser with Age Friendly Ireland. And they get their funding from the Big Lottery Fund, I understand. And they're doing a wonderful job here on the island, helping people who are over 50 enjoy their lives and try to worry a little bit less. There's lots of support for people over 50 on the island with Age Friendly Ireland, but unfortunately people on the island who are a bit older and a bit more vulnerable do get scammed, and we're talking about these scams and what to do over these scams with two lovely ladies from Trading Standards, Julie Woodhouse and Sally Ash. Julie, we've talked a little bit about different types of scams, in particular telephone scams, but could you tell us about doorstep scamming?
Yes, we on the island have become more prone to people coming from the mainland. They travel right down through the country, and they come over and they just have a very good knowledge of where our elderly population are living and manage to find closes where they have a number of, shall we say, older, more vulnerable people. And what they basically are doing, they're offering various services for repairs to their homes, like roofs, guttering, gardening has been a particular one just recently.
Yeah.
It's all jobs that when you are a bit older, you find that more difficult to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so what they're doing presumably is charging too much for basically a job that would be, you know, very, very small. And are they coming back and sort of...
They have been known to come back to the same people, yes,
right.
They have.
So they're building up the trust of these elderly people, they're charging them too much, they're not doing proper jobs.
That's correct,
And what happens then? Do people come to you and say, look, I think I've been scammed, or do you just hear about it?
We do tend to hear about it. The most recent case that I've dealt with was a case that went to court very recently, and that was brought to our attention by a carer of two elderly people. She went in every evening to help them, and when she got there that evening, she found them distraught, basically, because of the amount of money that they were supposed to be going to pay the people that were going to return to them the next day.
And sometimes people are marched to cash points, aren't they?
They are taken to cash points, yes. This is to get cash, because obviously it's not traceable. Another twist to that is that they actually are starting to use taxis to pay to take people, because obviously they've cottoned on to the fact that we are aware of the fact, and the banks are aware of the fact, that people are being taken the bank, so we're looking for that sort of thing. So they actually pop them in taxis. But you know, it's something we're aware of, so we've already taken steps to make our taxi drivers aware of that fact. It's usually because, and this is so ironic really, because this is what I come across such a lot, it's usually a job that does need doing, and they are unable to do it. So therefore, to set, you know, someone lands on your doorstep and offers to do the job for you, you're not really in a position when you're there to know what sort of price you should be paying, so you are sort of open to whatever they're prepared to do it for.
Okay, well let's hear about another type of scam. Sally, you were talking about psychic scams before the break, but there are lots of telephone scams that are particularly active at the moment. I think one involves iTunes. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, a lot of people have unfortunately fallen prey to this. The scammers phone up and say that they're from the HMRC and that the person that they're talking to owes thousands to the taxman.
Yeah.
And being investigated.
Yeah.
And if they don't pay the money, they'll send the police round and they'll be arrested, which obviously if you're older or maybe on your own, it's terrifying.
Yeah, I've actually seen that one on the internet being used in the States. And also people are trying to sell iTunes vouchers Christmas.
What they say is, so these people pretending to be the taxman will then tell, so the victim will say, what can I do? And they tell them to go and buy iTunes vouchers. So they get them to buy £1,000, £2,000, £2,500 worth of iTunes vouchers from the shop, come back, scratch it off, give them the numbers over the phone.
Oh, so that's how the money's being transferred.
That's how they do it. Then they've got the iTunes numbers. That they can then sell on to make money.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
A lot of the victims don't even know what an iTunes voucher is. Or what to do with it. That was sort of September, October time. That was very prevalent, and I suspect it won't go away.
Okay, well, I think we've got to sort of stop going through the terrible things that are happening and tell people how they can protect themselves in just a moment. Firstly, though, I want to give the names of the two websites that we've been talking about. AgeFriendlyIreland.org, which is the umbrella website for helping people over 50 to enjoy their lives on the island and to stay safe. And for the trading standards, probably the best one to deal with scams is iWASP, which is the Isle of Wight Against Scammers Partnership, and that website is www.iwasp.org.uk. Stick with us. After Cat Stevens, we're going to talk about how you can protect yourselves at home. Cat Stevens and Can't Keep It In. Just got a few moments left on the show. This is the new show, Older and Wiser, helping people who are a little bit older to stay safe on the island. And we've just been talking about the kind of scams that can happen, but I think most importantly we need to talk about how you can protect yourself. Sally, how do you protect yourself from telephone scams?
Well, there's lots of hints and tips on staying safe.
Which is the leaflet that you've
we've
created?
We've got a leaflet out.
At iWASP.
A lot of the information is on the website that you gave out, iwasp.org.uk.
Okay, brilliant.
But just a few to remember. Never send money to a company in order to claim a prize or winnings. You should never have to.
Yeah.
You won't have won a lottery if you haven't bought a ticket. Phone, which is a very prevalent one. Phone, never give out personal details or bank details over the phone. No legitimate organisation would ever ask for it. Equally in emails. Never click on links in emails. Never give out your information.
Yes.
There are things you can do. If you receive a lot of unwanted calls, you can change your phone number.
Yeah.
Use caller display, and if you don't recognise the number, don't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Let your calls go to answer phone. Phone people back.
Yeah.
Sky and BT both operate a free call blocking service, so if there's your provider, get in touch with them and they can sort that out.
Yeah.
Certain phones these days have got their own inbuilt call blocking facilities, and they're not that expensive, and you can get them in Argos or any other phone shop.
And another thing is just unplug your phone at night.
Unplug your phone at night, definitely.
Or at lunchtime, because that's when most scam calls take place, isn't it? Either over the lunch period or early evening.
I mean, just one thing to say is if you do have a relative or a friend who's suffering from dementia, there's a scheme that the National Trading Standards Scams Team run that if they suffer from dementia and get a lot of scam phone calls, they can apply for a free call blocker that can block those scam calls. And again, just contact us for any further information about that.
Fabulous. And Julie, you were going to talk about if somebody actually turns up on your doorstep, what can you do then?
Yes, if someone turns up on your doorstep and starts asking you whether you want jobs done, you don't have to answer the door. It's one thing we always see elderly people do, I think, is because someone knocks the door and they open the door. Don't answer the door. Have a look out the window to see who it is. But don't agree to have any work done by somebody who just randomly calls on you. And the best thing you can do if you are called on, and this is for everybody really, is if someone calls on you trying to sell you goods or services, please contact either us or the police.
Okay.
In that way we can actually do something about
it. Can you give me a phone number for how to get in touch with you?
Yes. If you ring 823371 if you've got someone knocked on your door.
Yeah.
Because it's most important that you come through to us, or you can ring 101 for the police.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. One thing I would say, though, is don't feel, if this has happened to you, that you are being singled out. Judy and I are subject to all of these calls. My parents have had these doorsteppers as well. It happens to everybody. So don't feel that it's just you and that you are being particularly threatened, because this is a national disease, actually. So please don't be afraid to actually put your hand up and say that it's happening to you. Robin Schultz. And James Blunt, before he came an absolute star on Twitter. He's apparently a real demon with those few characters. Now, we're going to have to wind up older but wiser, but we hope you are feeling a little bit wiser at home, because there's some bad things going on there in terms of scams, and I think we do need to make sure we can protect ourselves. I'm just going to give out those websites again. Agefriendlyisland.org is a wonderful organisation helping people lead better lives on the island, and if you want to get in touch with them to see how they can help, you can email them at hello@agefriendlyisland.org. And of course, if you're worried about scams on the Isle of Wight, do look at the website www.wasp.org.uk. But final word from Wilma from Age Friendly Island. Can you just tell me a little bit more about what Age Friendly Island aims to achieve here?
Yes, certainly. All the work, the really good work our delivery partners are doing with the projects, contributes towards what we hope will be the island becoming the first rural community that's age-friendly under the World Health Organization criteria. So really exciting, and everybody can help towards that.
Well, that would be absolutely wonderful, because it would be a real landmark for the Isle of Wight. Now, look, we've got plenty more of these shows. They're going to be on the first and the third Wednesday of every month at 3 o'clock here on Vectis Radio. You can hear them on 104.6 FM, but also catch up at www.vectisradio.com. All you need to do is go to the homepage and have a look under the Communities tab, and you'll find it down there. Judith and I will be back next week in just a few moments. Mr. Chris Sullivan is going to storm the studio, but I'll leave you until then with some Scott Fitzgerald.